Greetings, friends. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said that no man or woman knows the day or hour when he shall return to this earth at his second coming. In fact, Jesus told his disciples this 4 times in Matthew chapter 24. So certainly he emphasized that point that no man or woman knows the day or hour when he shall return. Do you know what else Jesus told his disciples in that same chapter? This answer might surprise you. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 24 and we'll read verses 32 through 33. It says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." My question for you is, what are these things that Jesus is referring to, and what is near even at the doors? Let's read this again. This is in Matthew chapter 24 and verses 32 through 33. "Now learn a parable of the fig tree." So this is not something that's hidden. Jesus Christ wants us to know something. And he says, learn this parable. When the fig tree's branches are tender and it puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So just like you know that summer is near when you see something, these tender branches putting forth leaves, in like manner, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. These things is what we're going to cover in a few seconds, and it being at the door, Jesus is referring to his second coming. So, Jesus said that no man knows the day or the hour when he will return, but he is at the same time saying that people will know that his second coming is very near because they'll be able to see signs of that. And because God reveals to his servants those things that are prophetic that he wants for us and that we need to know, we'll be able to see these signs and interpret the signs correctly and know that it is near, even at the doors, it being the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what are these things that we need to see? Well, let's back up a little bit. We're still in Matthew chapter 4, but we'll read verses 15 through 16. The first thing that we're going to see is the abomination of desolation. It says, "When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads this, let him understand." Again, Jesus is saying, this is something you can understand. You can see this sign and know what it means. You can know what time it is. So let this person understand. And if you see this sign of the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. What this is talking about is that the temple in Jerusalem and temple sacrifices in Jerusalem will be restored by the Jews. But what will happen is the false prophet and the beast will defile the sacrifices and they will desolate the temple. They're going to cause the sacrifices to cease and they're going to destroy the temple. This will ignite the great tribulation. And notice what God says in verse 21 of chapter 24. For then means after the abomination of desolation is set up, then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. During the period of this great tribulation, the third sign that we're going to see is a great flood of deception, and this is going to follow as the mark of the beast is enforced. Let's read about this in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive even the elect. My friends, I'm telling you, if you are not rooted and grounded in the scriptures, if you cannot interpret the signs, if you do not understand prophecy, you stand a good chance of being swept off your feet with this flood of deception. But not to fear, because God will send real signs and wonders that will help us again to be rooted and grounded in the truth and know what time it is. This is in Matthew chapter 24 and now in verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. Nobody can fake this. This is only something that God can do. This is a divine miracle. This is not a false sign and lying wonder. This is a divine miracle. And it says, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So these are the four things that we shall see: the abomination of desolation, the great tribulation, a flood of deception by false Christs and false prophets, counterfeit miracles, lying signs and wonders, and then the fourth thing is going to be the true signs and wonders from God, which will be the sun darkened and the moon not giving her light, the stars falling from heaven, and the powers of the heavens being shaken. These things precede the second coming of Jesus Christ. We can prove that that's what it refers to when it says it is near, even at the doors. It is near, meaning the second coming of Jesus Christ is near. It's even at the doors. It's like somebody standing right outside the door, knocking, and all you have to do is open, and it's right there. That's how close it is. That's how near it is. This is in verse 30 of Matthew chapter 24. Then shall appear, after these signs, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So that's what we have, my friends. Jesus did say that no man can know the exact day or hour. But at the same time, he told his disciples, and he's telling us as his modern disciples, that we can know the approximate time. We can know that the time is near. All we have to do is learn the parable of the fig tree, look at it, it's telling us something. Look at signs, which we just went over, and they tell us that Christ's coming is near. And this is just like his first coming. Nobody knew the exact day or hour when Jesus Christ would be born into this world, except for a few people did know the day and hour was near. And those people were the ones to whom God revealed it. No one knew the exact time, but a few did know that the day and hour was near. Same thing for the second coming. Now another question. What else can help us know that the day and hour is near, even at the doors? The answer is a knowledge of God's seven-step plan of salvation as revealed by his seven annual holy days. In Colossians, the second chapter, in verses 16 through 17, this is Colossians, the second chapter, verses 16 through 17, it says that the holy days are a shadow of things to come. What is a shadow? A shadow is something that points to the real thing. Passover, which is God's first out of the seven annual holy days, Passover in ancient times had the lamb slain and the blood covered the doorpost, and anybody that had the blood covering the doorpost, the death angel passed over them, so they were able to live. Well, that pointed to the real thing of the Lamb of God, Jesus the Christ, dying, his shed blood covering us, the death angel passing over us so that we don't have to die. Unleavened bread, which is the second of God's seven annual holy days, in ancient time, unleavened bread was eaten, and that pointed to the real thing of receiving righteousness through the bread of life. Jesus Christ is our bread of life. And if we accept him by faith, then we receive righteousness. Jesus Christ is also called the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And this is in the New Testament. Well, Pentecost, which is also called the Feast of First Fruits in ancient times, that was the time when the Ten Commandments were given to the nation of Israel, and that formed them as a nation. They entered into the Old Covenant. Well, that Pentecost, or first fruits, pointed to the real thing of receiving the divine nature of God through the Holy Spirit. It was on the day of Pentecost that we received the Holy Spirit. Now the law can be written not on two tables of stone, but on two tables of our hearts and minds. This is the time when the New Testament nation of Israel, the church, was formed. This is when we entered the new covenant. Then we have the fourth out of God's seven-step plan of salvation. The fourth holy day is the Feast of Trumpets. And the Feast of Trumpets has not occurred yet. In ancient times, the Feast of Trumpets, on that time the king was coronated, and people were called to gather together in war and also for religious purposes. Well, it points to something that will happen in the future. It points to the real thing of receiving eternal life in a resurrected, glorified body. When we have our resurrected, glorified body, we shall be kings and priests, and we shall reign and rule with Jesus Christ when he comes back to this earth to establish the kingdom of God on earth. And it says that we shall rule for 1,000 years. That's what the Feast of Trumpets points to. The real thing of receiving eternal life in a resurrected, glorified body. And then the Day of Atonement, which is the fifth out of God's 7 annual holy days, points to the real thing of the world receiving debt relief and freedom through Messiah. In ancient times, on the Day of Atonement, 2 goats were taken. 1 goat was slain for the sins of the world, and then another goat was taken alive, the sins of the world confessed over its head, and it was sent into the wilderness by the hands of a fit person. This is symbolic of Satan the devil being cast into the bottomless pit, and we can then have freedom from debt, and that is primarily for the world. That's when the world will, for the first time, in mass, receive Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. They no longer will be in debt to Satan. They no longer will be slaves of sin. They no longer will have the death penalty hanging over them. So they will have debt relief and freedom through the Messiah. That's what the Day of Atonement points to. So to continue on today in our discussion of the Day of Atonement, let's remember this, that the Day of Atonement is a day on which people fast. It is also the day on which the year of Jubilee begins. How do these two things help us to know that it, the return of Jesus Christ, is near, even at the door? The two things of fasting and also the fact that this Day of Atonement on which we fast is the start of the Jubilee year. Well, consider this. Jesus fasted for 40 days. Why did he fast for 40 days? Let's look very quickly at a couple of examples where 40 is used. 40 is used as the amount of days that the spies spied out the promised land. But because 10 of the 12 spies said that they could not take the land due to lack of faith, God said that they would have to spend 40 years in the wilderness. 1 year for each of the 40 days that they spied out the land. During those 40 years in the wilderness, God tried and tested Israel to see if they would faithfully follow him. And of course, just prior to the 40 years of wilderness wandering, Israel had come out of 400 years of sojourning in foreign lands. And 400, of course, is 40 times 10. We can conclude that 40 is the number symbolizing trials and testing. Jesus fasted for 40 days before defeating Satan. Is it possible that there will be 40 Jubilee years? A Jubilee year occurs every 50 years. If you have 40 Jubilee years, you have 2,000 years. Is it possible that it's going to be 2,000 years from the time when Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness to the time when Satan is ultimately dethroned? Now, my friends, you're starting to see how the holy days can help us to understand that it is near, even at the doors. It is near, meaning the return of Jesus Christ, his second coming.